Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Community Bank, we're more than a place to manage your money. We're your neighbors and trusted financial advisors. For decades, we've helped families, small businesses, and individuals achieve their dreams. We're dedicated to your success every step of the way. Community Bank, member FDIC.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
What I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it.
Whoa. Good morning, rock and rollers. This is the Handyman Show. My name is Buddy Slower. Going to be here until 12 o'clock, making all sorts of noise on the radio about fixing up and repairing your house. And kind of got a busy show today with a guest on board, but we'll have them and talk about their subject. At very first, we're going to have Tony Arpino with Atlas Foundation. We're going to talk for a little bit with him. And then later on, we'll talk with John Merrill from Amada Senior Care. And we'll talk all about what they're doing, particularly knowing that last Monday was Veterans Day. And they're involved now a big time in veterans, so we'll talk to him at that point in time. And besides that, we definitely want to get your text anytime you send them to us, 601-879-4395. And our call-in line, which we're going to be pretty busy this first hour, but still our call-in line, our Super Talk call line is 888-808-8637. Did I say that too fast? Did I say 888? 888. It's 888.
Eight cubed.
Yeah. See if you can figure that out. Now, for those of you who understand that, but at any rate, give us a call. Give us a text. We'd love to see it and see what's going on in your life. We intend to have us a good time this morning. A great music segment. We're getting a lot of fun during the music segment. But a lot of good things coming up before then. I got to talk. I know I haven't. This is more to do like God and Mama and maybe even the Birdman. But I saw on the internet the other day a bird feeder that's available nowadays that has a camera on it. And what it does when a bird starts feeding on it.
Gallo has one. It's amazing.
It's fed by solar power. That's where the camera gets its energy. And then not only does the camera take a picture of your bird, but it's on your Wi-Fi, so it can come to all of your devices on the phone. And inside the camera is AI, artificial intelligence, which will explain to you what type of bird that is. That's weird. My birdhouse. Expensive, though, but it would be so much fun. Everything I've read about them is anybody that has one has learned so much about birds and has fallen in love with the fact that they're going to be talking about birds for a long, long time. So, birdhouses. Birdhouses have changed over the years, I guess. Boy, you talk about it. It is a pretty expensive ordeal, but it's a one-time investment, and it sounds pretty good. Even though you know how I stand on artificial intelligence, I'm not real high on it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the AI stuff. I get to use it. It does shortcut life a lot.
Right.
It is, but learning the right way,
yeah.
I think it's society to, you know, embrace it.
Yep.
You know, having that at your fingertips where you could just put your phone up and it tells you a distance.
Yeah.
Or it tells you whether you're level. I mean, that kind of stuff, you know, the shortcuts that are absolutely so handy. But then you got the problem of social media and the creation of things that look real that aren't.
That are not real.
So, yeah, there's that. We're in that gray world right there.
Yeah, and it has the ability to do that very well.
Oh, so well. So, I mean, it is spooky. Yeah, it does it so well.
Spooky.
Well, I know you were ready to roll with Tony at 10:10.
Yeah.
He is on the line and ready to go. So,
well, let's talk to Tony Arpino with Atlas Foundation Repair. How are you today, Tony?
Very good. Kind of crisp along as I-20.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's warming up out there pretty quickly this morning. So, but it was cooler this morning for sure. I know I usually go out on the deck and drink my coffee on the deck, and I got to tell you, I had to bundle up to go out there this morning.
Buddy, I was thinking the other day that with these holidays coming up, I wanted to. I was going to tell you about a trip I went on years ago that involves, believe it or not, engineering and trees. And you say, "What? Where do they got to go together?" But In the South, you know how for the, and these are for the Garden Mama listeners sometimes, in the South, you know, we have our oak trees.
Sure.
Well, believe it or not, now bear with me, I was in Boston Harbor on the USS Constitution, and that was used even before the War of 1812.
Sure.
And I was trying to explain to my eight-year-old daughter why the cannonballs kept bouncing off of the ship. I don't know if you knew that. You remember they call that Old Ironside?
Sure.
Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Right. And I've been to that place in Boston Harbor a lot of times. So.
Right, and I'm sitting there as a as a young kid. I'm saying, well, they must have iron-plated it, you know, the external, because the British cannonballs were bouncing off. But what that has to do with engineering and trees is, as I'm showing my daughter, they made a sandwich of, on the external, they made a sandwich of three woods, which was a live oak at number one and at number three. And guess what they put? They put in a white oak at number one and number three, and they made a sandwich in the middle of a live oak. And what that was doing, you know, our live oaks are very flexible.
Right.
So what was going on, the British cannonballs were hitting the side of that vessel and bouncing off. And then not many people know it, but the British government made a rule that if you approach that USS Constitution, you had to approach it with two ships. Because the cannonballs kept on bouncing off. And when I started thinking about trees mixed with engineering, I was just so impressed how they designed that. And underneath it, the cannons were sitting on vertical white oak.
Sure.
I'll call them tree trunks.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing how engineering really fits with foundation repair, how important it is to know that. And there's a lot of people involved in foundation repair that don't understand the engineering behind it.
Right. It's easy, as you and I have discussed, it's easy to lift a brick home.
Right.
The problem is keeping it lifted.
Right.
And then the weight of the bricks and the weight of the concrete will push the repair on the ground, and then the public doesn't understand, as you and I have explained before, like lifting a loaded log truck
Sure.
off of a cotton field. It'll go up for about 3 years.
Right.
But I was going to remind you folks, your listeners, about what I call isolated repairs. I just did one the other day where on an external door,
uh-huh,
where I only needed two supports. Many times people think foundation repair, they think of a mess and going all the way around the house.
Sure.
I was trying to work on a door, an external door, and I only used two supports. So sometimes folks don't visualize how limited I can be. And a lot of times an external door can be a safety problem, especially with the upper age folks.
Right.
If that door gets stuck,
oh, for sure,
there's a fire, they can't get out that door. They don't have the arm strength to get out that door.
So what I'm hearing is that Atlas Foundation not only can repair, do a great job on foundation repair on slab foundations, but there are also other things that you're involved with that you can do to help people live more comfortably in their home.
In an isolated area. It doesn't have to be a arm and a leg repair, and it doesn't have to take forever.
Yeah, it's done quickly.
And we're not weather-related, so we hand-carry everything. And even if you have a camp house, for example, and you've got a wooden deck, we actually carry everything onto the wooden deck, remove the slats, and then pick up the concrete.
Wow.
Pick up the concrete footing. So we're used to being neat and portable, yet going to bridge builder depths.
Yes, yes. But Tony, how do people get in touch with Atlas Foundation?
I'm going to give you my 800 number, 800-256-1010. 800-256-1010.
And people should know that you'll work anywhere in the state of Mississippi and be happy to do that.
Right. And then different depths in different parts of the state. Horn Lake will have a different depth than Columbus or a different depth in Stone County.
Yeah.
There'll be a different depth depending on the soil type.
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, I don't have a whole bunch of time today, but I definitely want to underline Atlas Foundation Repair and how they do a great job. Phone numbers 1-800-256-1010. Tony Arpino is an engineer, and he understands soils throughout the state and beyond. And Tony, I think you've helped so many people with their foundations with so little effort that the references you have would be unreal.
Right. Case studies from the Department of the Navy and the Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, like I said, I'm running short on time today. I appreciate having you on board, and we'll get you on again here shortly. But at this point, we're running tight today. So I thank
you. You're doing fine, buddy.
I thank you very much.
Thanks for your patience.
All right. Have a good day. Tony Arpino, Atlas Foundation. They are the good guys in the foundation business and can help you out any way that you can think of. I've just sent a there'll be a text coming in very soon with a picture of a wrench that I talked about last week, and I just thought it'd be great to show. There you go. There it is. Yeah, it finally came in.
Now, we have a caller that's been on the phone waiting for us to have a little window to talk, and it's Ron from Summerall. And
good.
If you will pop him on, I know Ron's been patient. Talk to the handyman, Ron.
Hey, Ron, good morning. Thanks for your patience,
Ron.
Good
morning, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. I appreciate your patience.
I just wanted to give everybody a friendly reminder. You know, we've had some dry drought conditions, you know, for the past couple of months.
Yes, sir.
But with doing that, our pine trees has dropped a tremendous amount of needles on our roof. And we've got rain coming in, so everybody needs to really check their valleys, because it doesn't take much for those pine needles to get piled up in those valleys and cause some major roof issues.
Yeah, particularly when they get
wet. One of the things we got to do.
Yeah, we got 100% chance of rain coming like Monday night, so be careful. Yeah.
So really, folks,
get it done.
The best thing to do is remove those pine needles off of your roof while it's still dry, because once they get wet, it's going to be tougher. And that,
yeah,
Ron,
absolutely.
It
doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't take long. And getting wet, well, those pine needles can really, after they stay up there for a long period of time, can really do some damage to your roof by creating just all kind of chemical, like turpentine and things like that, all come from pine straw and pine needles, if you will. And cleaning it is very,
absolutely,
very important. Very important. I appreciate
it,
Ron. Good information, man.
That's all I wanted.
I hope you have a great day. All right, Ron, I appreciate it. Anybody want to give us a call? Hey, we'd love to hear it. All right. We still have time. We're going to talk a little bit about, last week I was talking about different things that we could do around the house that can help a whole lot. And we'll have a picture up on the screen pretty soon of a basin wrench. And a basin wrench is basically a tool that you would use, that it's a very necessary tool. And for a do-it-yourselfer that wants to replace, like, maybe a faucet or work on a commode and can't get up there to unscrew the nut and the bolt, it's so difficult for any person to do that without a basin wrench. But a basin wrench is made just for that purpose, and it's not up yet, but when we get it up, we'll show it to you and show you what exactly we're talking about as far as a basin wrench is concerned. It's an important do-it-yourself tool that not enough people know about. It's one of those things that really, really works and really can save you a lot of pain and aggravation. Basin wrench, good stuff. Really is good stuff. And it's something I really, you should grab onto and get a hold of one. And I've got one, and I know where it is all the time. I have a place to hang it, and I don't use it very often, but when I need it, it's sure there, and I'm glad that it is. All right. Text line 601-879-4395. Also, if you'd like to call us, we'll be happy to take your call at 888-808-8637, and we'll take whatever call may come in and talk to you at that point in time. All right. There's a text up there. I talked about lawnmowers, I think. Yeah. Oh, there's the basin wrench. There's a picture now on the screen of a basin wrench. And a basin wrench, basically, you can see that it has a curved end on the very end, and that thing goes 180 degrees, so it can turn a nut clockwise or counterclockwise with a little twisty at the bottom. So you'll hold it up straight, and twist it at the bottom as you, and it'll undo a nut. And it self-tightens because it, that clip on the end is like spring-loaded, and it tightens up. The more you turn it, the tighter it gets. And so it will. It works very, very well. And that's a basin wrench, and everybody should have one. And I really do think they should. All right, I didn't get it to Lance on time, but it's there now.
Anyway. Yeah, it's on the screen now. It's just about seven steps to get it from the line over to there, so it takes a second.
Just trying to keep you busy.
Oh yeah, man, ain't no trouble. I be patient. It isn't like a click and pop, so it takes a little movement.
Well, pretty soon things will be click and pop. That's the way things are turning in that direction. It seems like technology is moving so fast.
What would you use a basin wrench for? I mean, it looks very versatile, but I mean, I haven't ever implemented one of those into a game plan. What do I do with it?
All right, let's look at it this way.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty. It is a nice little wrench. Get up, open the doors underneath your vanity cabinet, and you look up under there, and you see the bowl of the sink. And up behind the sink, in between the sink and the wall, is a very narrow space, maybe 5-6 inches, where you have to reach up and actually undo the nuts to replace a faucet. Of course, you shut off the water and disconnect all the water connectors and drain it, and then to replace it, you've got to undo it. You've got to undo those nuts. And to do that, it's so hard to do with slip pliers or adjustable wrenches or anything at all, and you'll spend so much more time. Well, a basin wrench will reach up there, and you'll never have to stick your hand up there. The basin wrench actually will grab under the nut, and as you twist it, it actually twists the nut off. So, and that works. It's so easy to replace a faucet that already has a sink in place when you're not going to replace the sink and faucet.
It works. Why it's called a basin wrench, or the basin, right?
That's got you. It also works very well on toilets and things that are very hard to get your hand up into.
How big of a wrench? I mean, given that we don't see the size of that in
I would say
about 8 to 12 inches.
Maybe 12, maybe. Yeah, 12 at most. I think 12 is probably all it is, and that's plenty to reach up there. So, but it's a good tool, and it's a tool that not many people know about, and I'm sure every plumber in the world knows about them.
Yeah, the plumbers are like, these guys don't know what I know. Yeah. That's why we pay you what we pay you.
That's why a plumber can replace a faucet in a little bit of time, and you take like 3 days.
Yeah, exactly, and it still leaks.
All right, this is the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here at Super Talk Mississippi. My next guest is John Merrill with Amada Senior Care, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Handyman Show. Don't go away. Tell me.
Hi, I'm Billy Kinder, host of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hear the show Saturdays at 1, right here on Super Talk Mississippi. Turkeys, whitetail, Grenada Lake crappie, or Gulfport redfish. We enjoy it all, especially when you're in camp with us on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner. Weekdays starting at 2 p.m. here on Super Talk Mississippi. And now on Amazon Alexa devices. Whether you're a rebel, a bulldog, a golden eagle, or just a sports fan, Super Talk Mississippi has got a podcast for you. For you. Sports Talk Mississippi, The Rebel Report, Thunder and Lightning, the Super Talk Eagle Hour are all now available for you. And it's all free. Free. Get them all on demand at supertalk.fm and on your smartphone. Just search for Super Talk on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
The Hall.
When they play their music, that hard rock music, they back it with a lot of flash, but it's still that same old backbeat rhythm that really, really kicks them in the. They say the hard rock and roll is still beating, and from what I've seen, I believe them. Now the old one may be better rhythm, but the hard rock and roll is still beating.
Yeah. It's still beating. I heard.
Johnny!
Oh. That's that West Coast sound of, man, here he is so good. That group is so great. They are amazing. All right, I'm moving ahead. Amato, John Merrill. Good morning, John.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Man, so well. A strange thing happened today as I was walking into this building. I happened to notice that from my car to here at my broadcast desk is a pretty good walk, but I came through an entire building, and the whole place, being that it's a large commercial building, is kind of like it's grab bars everywhere. There's no steps everywhere. It's very, 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 it's like Universal Construction almost.
Wow. And that's an older building too.
Well, yeah, but it has everything in it. I'm so surprised that it does have that kind of thing. And no steps at all. No, and we're on the second floor.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I'm glad you noticed that, because that's part of what I do when I go to people's homes. We look for those type of issues, or make recommendations on grab bars, like you said, and wider doors, and just safety. That's the number one thing. We want to make sure people are safe in their home, and that's part of the assessment that I do every day. So,
well, John, I'm amazed at how that's really taken place in the commercial industry an awful lot, whereas not so much in the residential industry.
Yeah, well, they got that universal design. I think I met with a group one time that this architect, that's what he developed, subdivisions that were all universal design.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
New way to think, and you might as well make them wide, because we're all going to get there one day.
Oh, absolutely. And I've always felt this way, and I don't know if I'm right or not, it does not matter, but this is the way I feel. I've never wanted a second story on the house I lived in.
Not without an elevator.
No.
And that's a lot of money.
And that's a lot of money. That's right. Because as you say, we're all going to get there. But one of the reasons I wanted to have you on this week is because past Monday was, of course, celebrating Veterans Day, and we owe those people so much. It's just like one day a year is not enough to say thank you to them. But it's something that you've gotten involved in a lot lately, helping veterans. Tell us a little bit about that, if you will.
Sure. Well, first off, that was a great article. My brother is actually a retired colonel in the Army, and wrote an article about his neighbor that I just thought was so neat. He talked about his service in World War II, and, for veterans to recognize other veterans, especially the ones from World War II. It's really special, and he did such a fine job. And he mentioned my father, who was a retired Major General, which, we're all so proud of him for his service. And, he was one of the rare...
a big dog.
he was a big dog, and he was a doctor, too. So he was kind of like Colonel Potter from MASH. He ran MASH units in Mississippi, and, just loved the military. He said, I'm a retired... general, I'm not a retired doctor. And I just thought that was funny. He really loved his military service more than anything.
Yes, sir. I can imagine, sir. I imagine so.
It's really great that you recognize the veterans and tell their stories, because they're fascinating. And I've had them walk in my office. I did recently down on the coast, and he told his war stories, and it was just fascinating what they go through. And for them to be able to talk about it now is really... It's good for us to hear, because there was a lot of sacrifice and gave up their youth,
Oh, for sure.
You look at these 18, 19, 20-year-old young men and women, and now they're in their 80s, and, and they need to tell us the stories, remind us what they went through to help us be where we are today.
Right.
I think that is a true testament to let's listen. And, it's exciting. I got to tour the VA down the coast. As you know, I'm a provider for the VA veterans benefits for Homemaker, Home Health Aid, Respite Care, and Aid and Attendance down there, and I'm really excited to get to go to the facilities. And I had one of these county service officers, he showed me around, and the amazing thing was the Biloxi Cemetery. And I don't know if you've ever seen that. I was just stunned how large it is and how beautiful and just respectful for all those that gave up their lives. And she said, look, John, December 7th, we're having a wreath. We're going to put wreaths on all the cemetery plots. And I said, what? Wow. That's thousands of them. She goes, yes, we've done this several years, and it's getting bigger and bigger. I want you to come participate.
Wow.
and I'll be there.
Yeah.
And apparently they have so many volunteers, but I would just encourage anybody who wants to go out and see some spectacular, be part of it. I'm looking forward to it. And they back these big old 18-wheelers up and donated wreaths that you fluff them up and put them on the cemetery. So
wow.
I think it's just a great way to just show your love and respect for our veterans, especially those that have passed away. And
yeah, that gave
that'll all... happen December 7th down at Biloxi National Cemetery. You've never seen that cemetery. It is absolutely beautiful.
One of my good
nice testament.
One of my good friends is a Vietnam vet, and he went over to Vietnam and was actually involved pretty heavily in the war over there. And I listened to some of the things he has to say, and he was stationed at Keesler, and he has told me about that cemetery before. Now, I have not been there, so I haven't seen it, so I don't really know, but he said it's spectacular.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, when we were driving through it, something just struck both of us. There was a I guess it was a widow out there with a, she had an umbrella to keep the sun off of her, but she was just laying next to the cemetery headstone, and you just got to say, man, I mean, that's a lifelong love of a veteran, and just to be there, you don't see that very often, but it was really, it really kind of set you back. Like, man, the wives suffer, you know, when they lose their spouses. Yeah. And so it works both ways. So it is something worth thinking about. And anybody that wants to participate, I would encourage them December 7th at the Biloxi National Cemetery. I think that'd be a great, great.
Whew, what a picture that would be with the lady lying on a gravestone of a husband that she lost during the war. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And you're talking amongst thousands of these headstones. And I don't know if it's thousands. It just seems like it's massive.
Right. A lot. But
yes.
How do veterans get involved with your service and helping them with the Veterans Administration? Is it something the administration does, or is it something you do, or does a veteran have to get in touch with the model?
Well, both. They can always call me. My 24-hour number is 228-216-2448. And we'll talk to you and kind of get the story where you are as far as your health and your needs, and I can direct you to the proper people. And you have to be you have to go to the VA to get it qualified,
right?
And enroll in their program. But that's a lot easier now, believe me.
Yes,
I've heard the stories about how difficult. But going in there, they were begging. They had three different areas, and they had people waiting for veterans to come in so they could get the primary care get set up and get a case manager and just tell the case manager, I want him out of senior care because, he directed me here and we can take care of him. And this is really on the Mississippi Gulf Coast for right now. I don't have the privileges up here in the Jackson market, but hopefully one day soon we will.
Right.
But there's some great, great, I respect a lot of the agencies up here that do the VA, and I can direct you to them because, we all work together as far as agencies. We do compete, but we're also, we know who's has the VA program or Medicaid, we can always direct you to somebody that I trust and respect. And
sure.
And that's what you get when you call me. I'll direct you in the right way, even if it's not me taking care of you. I can do assessments. And, we've always talked about long-term care insurance. And, I think today we're talking about VA benefits. So please just, if you're a veteran and you got frustrated years ago, please come back. They've revamped everything. They're excited about taking care of you. And I saw it.
Yeah.
When I went to Keesler and the VA hospital, they were smiling faces and directing you, how can I help you?
Well,
like
you said before, two decades ago, the VA didn't have that great of a reputation, but as things have changed so very, very much, and it's such a great organization. But not only does your company have a service for veterans, but you also deal with the public in a great deal. There's a lot of single nesters, elderly people out there who need help or maybe have children that live in another state, another area, and they know that a single parent is living by themselves alone in a house and really needs some help with occasional things or full-time. That's something that you would be involved with that they should call AMADA.
That's absolutely right. We provide private caregivers in homes or at facilities if they're in assisted living or independent living. It doesn't matter. Wherever you need help, sometimes we get families that they can't be there overnight while their parents are in a skilled nursing facility. And we'd love to provide, somebody 7 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. That way, that your mom or dad is going to get, if they need water or help to go to the bathroom, we're going to be there for you. And you don't have to worry about that. And so often we think nursing homes are one-on-one care, and they're not. They do. They work really hard to take care of everybody, but they just can't be one-on-one care. And that's what we provide, that one-on-one care. And certainly I've helped many, even my own family.
Right.
We went to a skilled facility for rehab. I had caregivers in there overnight because I didn't want my mom to go without water or you know, help going to the bathroom or anything, you know, help get the food to her, or make sure everything's taken care of, just like you or I would do for our parents.
Right.
That's what my caregivers do. And so, yes, we're private pay. Long-term care insurance, as I mentioned many times, I love to help families kind of walk through that process. And
which they'll never get hold of by themselves. Reading those things can be, whoa. But it's great to have somebody that can understand what the insurance company is trying to say to you and what they will and won't cover.
That's right. How to work through elimination periods. What is that? You know, I sit down and talk to people and explain the verbiage and what the next step should be. And I encourage everybody, you know, plan ahead.
Right.
You know, there's so many times that, you know, if you end up in the hospital, that's almost too late. Then you're in chaos and you're worried about all these other things, and you don't have time for the long-term care insurance to try to get it set up.
Yeah.
So I would just let your children know, I have this policy. That's another thing. A lot of times parents don't let the children know that they have policies, and that's something they need to know about, because if you get infirmed or you can't communicate, for whatever reason, then at least they'll know that's part of your plan to have long-term care insurance to provide caregivers in wherever you are.
Yeah, very, very important. Very important.
Well, John, let's get a couple phone numbers out there for you.
Sure. Let me give you the Mississippi Gulf Coast is 228-216-2448, and the Mississippi statewide is 601-864-3752. That's 601-864-3752, and we have somebody answering those phones 24/7. I have a wonderful staff that'd be happy to talk to you, get your information, and we'll be in touch with you just as soon as possible and try to set up a time we can either talk on the phone or in person, and we'd love to do that.
And we'll be happy to sit down and discuss the possibilities or the problems or the situations that may need addressing and be able to address those, whatever it may be in taking care of a person or however it goes. And that's a great service, John. And you guys, I just can't say enough about the things I've heard about you going to, or Amada just going to different places and different people, some of your staff, and they say, wow, I have never been treated so well in my life. This is great.
We're very proud of our caregivers, and I would encourage anybody who wants to join a great team. I think we have a wonderful culture of caring for our seniors.
Right.
And if you want to join us, call those numbers, and we'll set up a in-person interview and see if, you know, this is a good fit for you. And I would encourage any retired nurses, please give us a call. I've hired lots and lots of nurses that just want to get back into healthcare. I've been sitting at home too long, and I want to go back and do one-on-one care. And it's a relaxed, great environment. You're using somebody's home where, you know, it's not the one-on-20 care that you were used to back in the hospital and nursing home days. It's a really fun environment, and I think my caregivers would attest to that. They do it because they love taking care of people, and it's a ministry, you know, that just goes straight to their heart, where you know, they're caregivers. They want to take care of people.
And people need to know that these people who work for you are actually paid by you and not outside contract workers.
Exactly. And that's important for people to know.
Very important.
Know, contract workers, you're on the hook. If something happens and you've hired somebody as a contract worker, then you could be on the hook down the road if, you know, something were to happen. Workers comp. I mean, people get injured in healthcare, backs and knees, and you name it. It happens. And I take care of our employees. We have a good reputation for making sure they're taken care of. And
good stuff.
We do have workers comp, and they are W-2 employees. So,
all right. Well, if you're looking for a job, nurses, give John a call. He wants to talk to you for sure. Amada Senior Care. John, I appreciate the time you spent with us this morning. And have a great weekend, man.
You too.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care. John Merrill, Amada Senior Care. They really know what's going on. You're listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. My name is Buddy Slowick. Be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Well, it was
it's Richard Cross from Sports Talk Mississippi. Join us every day for the College Football Fix, driven by Ford and your local Mississippi Ford dealers. Speaking of Ford, how do you create a tradition of leadership? You power it with impressive towing and hauling, sharpen it with smart features like a mobile generator, and dominate the game 47 years straight. That's Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, a legacy of excellence only at your local Mississippi Ford dealer. Don't miss the College Football Fix, driven by Ford.
Make plans to visit Grammy Museum, Mississippi to experience Music America, iconic objects from America's music history, now through April 2025, featuring iconic objects from artists such as B.B. King, Billie Holiday, Bob Dylan, Buddy Holly, Ella Fitzgerald, Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Jimi Hendrix, Lead Belly, Sam Cooke, and Whitney Houston, with specific artifacts on display. To purchase tickets or learn more about the exhibit and other events, visit GrammyMuseumMS.org. America's Music Highway is supported by Visit Mississippi and the Mississippi Humanities Council.
No two people. When illusions spin a net, I'm never where I want to be. And liberty, she threw it. When I think that I am free, watched by empty silhouette, who close their eyes but still can see.
Man Show here at the Build Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy Slowick. I've been here for a while, until noon anyway. On the text line, we had a message from Jason in Pearl, and he said, I have a basin wrench and I know how to use it. My question is, I'm wondering if you have a resource that will tell me how old my pipe wrench is. Wow, that's just a heavy question. if I had that question and I had a pipe wrench and I was looking for the age of it, I'd probably go to my computer and find out first when the pipe wrench was invented by who, and then go from there. I think if you start at that point, you'll have a pretty good idea of how to judge the date of that pipe wrench. But really, I don't have a resource that says you can go directly to this source and find out the age of it. No, I don't have that. But good question, Jason. Very good question.
There may be a serial number somewhere on there or markings that you could, but if it's old, that thing's going to be...
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen pipe wrenches that look like they've been around since the 1800s, and they're just as good as they were when they were made.
Yes, so yes, indeed.
It may be an antique.
It may be an antique worth a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you never know. You dig around.
But you're right.
This is at least 50 years old.
It may have a brand name written on the handle inside, and it may also have a serial number. And with that, you can probably determine the age. So good luck, Jason, with that, and let us know if you find out.
Yeah, and if it's worth a lot of money.
Sure.
You gotta share in the wealth, bud.
You got to share some. I'm with us because we told you how to find it. Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, no, of course.
I don't think so. Hey, wooden shingles. I'm going to talk a little bit about wooden shingles. I come from New England. I grew up in New England as a youngster, and almost every home up there is sided with a white cedar shingle on the sidewalls. And that white cedar is generally brought in from Canada, and they make white cedar shingles on them, and they're put up, and they're supposed to age themselves to a gray or what they call a patina. They're going on as a wood color and naturally change themselves, and they are very, very good siding. Now, a lot of people like to use wood shingles on their roof. Well, on roofs, we don't use white cedar shingles. We use red cedar shingles. And there are two different kinds. There's a shingle, and then there's a shake, a wooden shake. And that does make a major difference. Most people want to use a hand-split wooden shake on their roof rather than a wooden shingle. It has more texture to it. It has more appeal to it, if you will. Now, great, great heat resistance, more insulation than you'll ever get from any kind of asphalt roofing or metal roofing. Also, keep your house cooler in the summertime because it reflects. Some of the downsides, it's particularly dangerous during a fire. So, having said that, almost every code says if you're going to use red cedar shingles or hand split shakes on your roof, they need to be fire treated. They need to be coated with some sort of fire treatment. And that is something that, And then you have to think about the expense. The expense of them is pretty high, a lot higher than asphalt shingles. But there's nothing that looks as great as a wooden shake roof. It's like, I think a few weeks ago we were talking about thatched roofs and how great they look. Well, you don't see a lot of them around, but and you don't see a lot of wooden shakes around. Mostly you'll see them on the more expensive, like custom homes, where they'll put a wooden shake up there. But if you talk to the roofing suppliers or wholesalers around here, you'll find out that not a lot of wooden shakes are being used in this market. It just doesn't happen a whole lot. They are used in some markets. They use a lot more in some markets, but just not a whole lot. Around here, we use a lot of asphalt, and then people are turning now to use a little bit of metal roofing, and that's pretty much our standard in this area in Mississippi.
Can you, I mean, I guess my a question in relation to the red cedar,
yes,
as far as for roofing, could you use the material, like from Miller Lumber, that is the fencing material? Is that, you know, the as far as your slats, your vertical slats, could you cut cedar shingles out of that, or is that some? Because I've seen a couple of videos where people have taken red cedar and made the cedar shingles,
yeah,
you know, with a splitter and a ripper and all that, and it's really impressive. I mean, these are some really crafty folks. But it made me think, if you had an 8 foot, 1x4,
right,
could you cut those into cedar shingles and dog ear it off, you know, the edges and do it yourself? I mean,
I think the problem lies in the fact that that one by whatever you're cutting your cedar out of, mm-hmm, is going to be the same thickness throughout, whereas, yeah, an actual cedar shake,
it's gonna be,
it
angled,
goes from like a five quarters of an inch down to like next to, mm-hmm, very, very,
gotcha,
small. So
good point.
I don't think that using boards from like...
Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, if you wanted to do some like shop or something, but you probably wouldn't do your home.
You do it awful. It'd be awful.
There's no truncation to it. It doesn't angle at
exactly,
all.
So exactly.
It won't lay right.
It won't lay. Okay. It won't lay right at all. And then there's a system in which you're supposed to use to lay red cedar shakes on your roof or shingles on your roof, where each individual groove between shingles comes down and lands on a solid shingle, not on another groove, and that's done all the way down the roof, so that the roof kind of like
you staggered,
want staggered, mm-hmm, so that nothing drains onto the felt paper underneath. Well, nowadays felt paper is what they recommended for years, and now they're using synthetic felt, and synthetic felt is just as good, and a matter of fact better than using regular felt for your roofing. So even under wooden shakes, you'll find that the synthetic felt is just as good, and it works just as well. Now, they're high maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance involved in getting that wooden roof on.
Doesn't seem like you could just get up there and walk on it either. You know, at first, maybe when that wood is really good and strong and durable, but yeah. I mean, would you, feels like that would be a little risky to get up and walk it, and like you would normally on an asphalt or a metal roof. Am I wrong, or is that just a
I've not done that before, and I wonder,
because I've seen some that are pretty steep pitched. I'd be like, I ain't walking that thing.
Somebody either text us or call us and let us know about walking on wooden roof shingles.
Yeah, I saw one over in Fondren area the other day. That's when I called you. I'm like, man, let's talk about wooden, wooden roofs, because they're so pretty, but they don't look easy to deal with.
No.
Although beautiful,
they are gorgeous.
Kind of they grab your eye.
Yeah,
you feel like you're like in Hobbitville or something. Oh, that's a Hobbit house, but no. I mean, this two-story, and that thing had a pitch on it. I'm like, goodness gracious.
I
wouldn't feel good about that.
And you have to have a crew that really knows what they're doing in order to install them properly. And then you have to, in this market, you have to find them.
good point.
Most of the wholesalers in this area may have a bundle or two in stock, but if you want to do an entire roof, you'll have to go to the wholesaler and say, this is what I want, and it'll take them a little while to get what you need for in stock, but it won't take that long to get them, because they're not really like rare. It's just
if it was a window or a door, now that's a different story, right? It could be months. But
I don't want to talk about it. I'm in trouble with windows, but it's taking so long. Somebody's already on my case about that. And there's, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot I can do. There's nothing I can do except wait.
That's all you can do. When they say, well, we'll get them to you.
I mean, I can worry about it and get upset about it, but what good is that going to do me or them? Nah, I'm just going to wait. All right. This is the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here on Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Sork at the Build Mississippi Studios. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Build Mississippi in the segment after the music. We'll talk a little bit about Build Mississippi. But coming up, a music segment. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the music world. And then we'll get back to doing some handyman stuff. So you stick with us right here at Super Talk Mississippi. Build Mississippi Studios, Super Talk Handyman.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Mississippi News doesn't sleep, and neither do we. At supertalk.fm, you get news from all over the state. From stories to keep you safe, to legislation that could affect your bank account, to weather reports to help you better plan your weekend. Plus, find in-depth interviews with the newsmakers in the Supertalk podcast archives. And everything Mississippi sports. Your Mississippi News. All the time, on air and online. At supertalk.fm.
Hi, I'm Josh.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam chowder.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it.
And here we go again. My name is Buddy, the Handyman Show, and Build Mississippi Studios. We're about to do a music segment. And before we do, I want to mention something. Jason's from Pearl sent in and said he knows that his pipe wrench is at least 50 years old. That's something. That's a place to start. All right. Music. I've been involved in music so very, very much. And there's a group out there named Goose. And Goose is great, by the way. A song is called Hunger Sight, but Goose formed in 2014, and they gained major popularity by touring with the Grateful Dead, and then later they toured with the Bob Weir Band, and were doing exceptionally, gained much popularity in doing that, and then they went on a co-tour where they're co-headliners with Phish. And they did a bunch of shows with them, co-headlining. Now, they're headlining themselves and selling places out left and right. Goose, their lead guitar player and vocalist is Rick, and I can't hardly, I'm going to try to pronounce his last name, Muratonda. And that might even be close. And anybody who has a correction on that, send it to us. But he is very good, and Goose is a great, great band. Let's listen to a little bit of Hunger Sight, Goose.
Step out of the wreckage yet, my friend.
have taken on, but we won't lay.
So great, and there's more coming, but I can't play the whole thing. It's just, they're basically a jam band, but they are so good and so pure and so clean in the way they play. Their music is just so well done. All right, the next artist, well, Roseanne Cash is who I'm going to talk about, and a lot of people say, well, what do you do in country? Well, I kind of stay away from country because we have a country artist that does a show on this station, and I want them to have all the country that, but Roseanne is really not country. She's country. She did country. She has done some rock. Has done some folk. Is more Americana, and she's Johnny Cash's daughter from his first marriage, and she's a great songwriter and a great performer. The thing that really struck me is in 2007, she had brain surgery. In 2005, I had brain surgery, and I'm just amazed that she came back as strong as she is today, and I've been fortunate, blessed so much to come back as strong as I have today. I'm thankful for that very much so. But Roseanne Cash, song called Runaway Train, Roseanne Cash.
I'm worried about you. I'm worried about me. Flashing red warnings, unseen in the rain. This thing has turned into a runaway train. Long distance phone calls, a voice on the line. Electrical in the time, dynamite too is hooked on the wire, and so are the rails of American flyers. Blind boys and gamblers, they invented the blues. We'll pay up in blood when this marker comes due. To try and get off now, it's about as insane as those who wave lanterns and run away. are always in twos. I have been here before this, and now it's with you. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about me. We're lighting the fuses and counting to three. And what are the choices for those who remain? The sign of the cross on a runaway train. This thing has turned into a runaway.
It's turned into a runaway train. I like it. The song has always struck me. I've always liked Roseanne Cash. Matter of fact, I have a couple of her albums. I think she's very, very good. For the third song, Lance, I got to tell you the truth. Were you going to do the third song? Or am I going to do the third song? Oh, thank you. don't mind me. I'm a little confused. Marcus King is a great, great guitarist and a vocalist, and has a song called It's a Little Too Late, which we're going to play in just a minute, but he's from South Carolina. His dad is Marvin King, known as a great blues guitar player, and Marcus King is always, like, in the groove, and he'll be coming to Jackson not too long from now at Dueling Hall, as a matter of fact. There'll be two shows on December 17th, and as far as I know, the first show is already sold out. So I don't even know if there's tickets available for the second show, but they're available through Ardenland. But Marcus King, great, great player and worth listening to, always in the zone. It's Too Late, Marcus King. Let's listen to it. Missed a note when he was playing the lead either. His show at Dueling Hall is going to be great. It's going to be an acoustic show. He's going to play with himself and Drew Smithers. They're going to play an acoustic show, so it won't be the whole band. It'll just be Marcus and Drew playing, but it will be a tremendous show. All right, Lance, say it. What do you got? What you got, bro?
I went with a little crazy because it was something that...
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, but there's a guy out there named Bill McClintock. He's a musician.
Yeah, I heard
and that. He has taken... and mashed up stuff, and he's absolutely amazing with the timing, the engineering. And so what happens here is this is Leo Sayer Guns N' Roses and the Bee Gees with Bill McClintock's master mixing skills jammed up in here like a ball of wax. And it's the most unique. He's done quite a few others.
It's great to watch,
too. But it really is to see where we're going in the world of music, where you can do these things. And then the video stuff, too, where it's really entertaining. So I don't have much to say other than you got to listen to this because it's crazy. I'm sorry, I had to do it, though, because it's just so phenomenally crazy.
Well, I was
at the same time.
I was waiting for Leo.
Yeah, well, you know, it's such a long song. I can pull it over here. Let's see where we're at. We don't have enough time, but it's one you need to check out,
it's
folks.
Really,
just
it's
go
really,
check out the mashups.
It's amazing how they can mix that stuff and make it sound like it's happening right now. For our outtake, we're going to do everybody knows Eric Johnson, and if they don't, they should. He did a song called Stratogem, and Shadow Gem is a word that it really, in the dictionary, it says like when two opponents get together and there's some kind of a great strategy to that's what stratagem is all about. I don't think that's what Eric Johnson wrote Stratogem all about, but he wrote about Shadowcasters because he loves them. Here's Eric Johnson, Stratogem.
Open Season Properties has a team approach philosophy that ensures your needs are of the highest priority, whether it's rural land sales, residential, or commercial properties. Go to OpenSeasonProperties.com to learn more.
Supertalk.fm. Supertalk.fm. Your one stop for all the news that matters in the Magnolia State. Supertalk.fm. Everything you need to know at your fingertips. Supertalk.fm.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it.
Show. Hey, you know, the winner of the music segment was Goose. I have so many texts that came in from friends who said, wow, they sound great.
I love Goose and Johnson, too. Both of those are great.
And I had a Skip from Pearl text in and wanted to know what the name of who played the last song. And I think he was talking about with the Bee Gees and Guns N' Roses.
I think
something
about Eric Johnson. That was the owl.
It could be Eric Johnson, too. Yeah, but Eric, I think Johnson, his text became...
But if you're curious, those with very exacting taste in music would like to know. Yeah. It was Guns N' Roses, Bee Gees, Leo Sayer doing Stayin' Alive to be a rocket queen. So no, it's a, yeah, they took three songs and
turned it into one, which sounds
merged
great.
It in there. Yeah. And again, we didn't even get to the rocket queen part. That was kind of the opening Staying Alive part. So, and then it flips around and very similar to the song Guns N' Roses does with Rocket Queen, where there's almost two songs within it.
Right.
They honor that. So, I mean, it's really cool. I've kind of gotten a rabbit hole the other day with that stuff.
Well, Skip, I hope we've answered your question. All right.
So either Eric Johnson or the mashup, Bill McClintock. Go to Bill McClintock's website or his Facebook page, or you can find him on YouTube and find some really cool stuff.
Like
the Western McClintock.
Yes, for sure. All right. Build Mississippi. What a great organization. Build Mississippi. They were called the Mississippi Construction Education Foundation, but they've changed their name. Their name has now been changed to Build Mississippi, and their mission is to take untrained people who really want to get ahead in this world, but really have no sense of direction about how to do that. Well, they have a training center where they'll train you to do any sort of great electronics or HVAC, any sort of commercial work that is necessary. And then I promise their board members are made up with all of the people who own the major, major construction companies in Mississippi. And they're hiring a lot of these people. Now, Build Mississippi not only has a training center, but they'll advise you about what's going on at Hines Community College and at Holmes Community College, as well as grants to help you to ease the pain. And it won't cost you very much to take a course to become a qualified electrician or a qualified plumber or qualified work on HVAC units, and in no time at all, without a major, major payback for a college degree, you'll be into a career which will start making you an awful lot of money and be awful good. Build Mississippi is a great organization, and I just suggest that you text or go to your computer and Google buildmississippi.com, and you will find out more than you'll believe. And particularly adults, if you're looking for something for your children, maybe, and your children in school and really don't know which direction they're going to go to Build Mississippi and check it out. You'll be happy you did. All right. Great organization. Really, 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 really is. Okay. Let's see. Last week, I talked a lot about how to refinish an exterior wooden door. And I know we've talked about this before. And it's almost to the point now where to have a stained exterior wooden door is really, you know, we're trying to make our houses more maintenance-free than they ever have been. But when you put a stained wooden door on the exterior surface of your house, It's not going to be maintenance-free by any means. It's going to take much more maintenance than any kind of painted door that you put up there. So it's recommended, and nowadays they're doing this a lot in other parts of the country, they're not staining these doors anymore, because after 2 or 3 years, that stain through weather, through UV light and sunshine and wind starts breaking down, and that finish just breaks down and breaks down, and before you know it, your door starts to come apart. When you paint a door, it seals better, it holds better, and it's not affected by the sun nearly as much. A good painted door can last a number of years and not need anything but cleaning from time to time, whereas a stained door better get some attention every year. And every 2 or 3 years, it's probably going to be refinishing. So having a stained door, yes, is expensive. Yeah, they look spectacular, but I don't know. To me, it's not worth it. If I could afford it and had a house that had that type of door, I would paint it. I would find a paint. And what they're doing is they're painting these doors what they call like a pop color, a color that will just draw your eye right to it and say, wow, that door looks great. Matter of fact, as you drive up and down the neighborhoods, as I have gotten getting here, I saw a lot of doors that were painted pop colors, and they looked great. They looked fantastic. So that's just something that I thought I'd bring up.
What is your favorite of all the pop colors? Are you an orange door, red door, blue door?
Well,
yellow door.
Two things I won't have is I won't have a black door and I won't have a red door. Now, other than that,
well,
it's more
a state fan in you, obviously. We can't all be perfect, buddy. It's okay.
I didn't say
you'll do a maroon door, but you won't do a red one.
I didn't say anything about maroon or gray.
I'm messing with you.
But you know, that's a thought. Most of the lot of doors I see nowadays are gray. As a matter of fact, I know I wouldn't paint a door gray either. But what would be my favorite color?
Yeah,
it would depend on the roof color, the brick color, the siding color. And then after all that, I'd make a decision on the color of the door that what it should be. What is my favorite? Really, in that situation, I don't think I have a favorite.
The turquoise one always stands out nicely.
It really does. Yeah. Turquoise looks really, really good on turquoise. As a matter of fact, I went by a house that had a turquoise door on it today and went, oh, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at doors as I was driving up here, going through the neighborhoods. And there are a lot of red doors.
I will say I love going through the Fondren area in Bellhaven. If you're in the mood for some pretty flowers and some bumpy roads and also some beautiful doors. I mean, you will see some beautifully done.
Some nice houses, too.
Nice houses, yeah. I mean, if the roads weren't so bad, you know, in those areas, and I feel for them because, you know, the beautiful neighborhoods.
It really is.
Great foliage, and the homes are just, you know, beautiful homes also. I mean,
really
well-built, and I've been in a lot of them over the years.
Yeah, I have, too.
I love the design. You know, it's just nothing's the same. Everything is unique and almost a custom job.
That's correct.
And you have so many neat little, you know, nuances in those neighborhoods. And you got a lot of folks with some artistic flair, too.
Yeah.
Because you can see, I mean, the yards are great. It's just really fun to go into an old neighborhood like that and seeing the life and
there's
longevity.
There's a lot of life in there and a lot of life in there. And it's a great place. It really is. The Fondren area is pretty darn nice anyway. A text came in a while ago about somebody who's having a bulging in their roof. And from the picture that I can see, it looks like there are ceiling tiles that I can see. And one is bulging and lying down. And his question is, repair, replace, what do I do? Replace is really the only answer. And the reason that it's bulging is because it has somehow absorbed moisture. And the moisture will make it bulge and make it do just, it'll do that to sheetrock as well as it will do it to ceiling tile. So before you replace it with something new, you kind of need to find out why did it get this moisture on it. Where is that moisture coming from? And stop that. And then replace the ceiling tile. And I think you'd be happy doing that.
Make sure your vents aren't clogged or if you have the spinners up there or something, you know, you could be not getting the venting and
the air
in there that you should. And we're about to get a lot of rain probably pretty quickly. So I would, you know, get your thumb on that because it may get worse, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it may. But it needs to be replaced. But again, find out what's that. Why is it getting so much moisture on it? I mean, maybe you had a leak, and that's the answer. Who knows?
Yeah.
And that would be the answer. Great. No problem. All right. So, but at any rate, replace is the way to go. A lot of people have electric ovens, and they're having a lot of trouble because their ovens just won't heat. And they are going, I guess I need to call the appliance repairman. No. The oven won't heat probably, in most cases, because the actual heating element at the bottom of the oven does not turn on because it's got a break in it somewhere, and therefore electricity can't go around it all the way. But it's easily replaceable, not very expensive, and it's a do-it-yourself kind of project without calling a appliance repairman. An appliance repairman is going to cost you quite a bit to have come to your house and replace that heating element. But that heating element is held in place by two screws in the very back bottom of the oven, and then it unplugs from its device, and you can take that heating element as long with the brand of your stove, the model of your stove, and that heating element, and you go to an appliance parts store, you can buy a heating element for a fair price and get it and go home and change it, and your oven will work fine from then on. And it's easy thing to do, and it will take a broken oven and make it work again. So and that's doing stuff for yourself around the house. Not only it helps make your house work a lot better, but makes you feel a whole lot better. And then when you sit down and watch football on Sundays or Saturday afternoon or whatever, it's okay. You got something done. Well, I think it was yesterday I started washing my house. And I'm getting ready for paint. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I washed the back side because my house is all hip roof where there's nothing but eaves and soffits and fascia boards kind of showing, and then it goes on to brick. So all you really have to do is clean the fascia board and the soffit area and all the trim that goes along with it. Most of that is, a lot of people like to use a pressure washer. I don't. I like to use a garden sprayer with trisodium phosphate, that's TSP, and bleach. And I make my own solution. I use about a quart of bleach, 2 gallons of water, to about a half a cup of TSP, mix it all up, spray it right on my side, on my fascia board and my soffit, and let it set for about 10 minutes, and rinse it, just absolutely rinse it as best you can without getting too soaked. You're going to get wet doing this, by the way. And I'm telling you, here's a house that has paint that's at least, I'm thinking it's got to be 10, 12 years, 15 years old, the paint job that's on the house, yet it looks like very, very little deterioration. I mean, it's been held up in good condition. Of course, I wash it a lot, but that helps keep it in the condition that it's in. But one day, maybe this season, maybe next season, I'm going to paint it. And on the paint on my house, very simple. I have brick mostly all around the house. I have great roof shingles on top. And I want all the rest of my house to be white. And everything's going to be white. And I don't want anything put into my white to make anything but white. And that way I know when I go to replace just white, I can get white.
Man, good luck.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, white. There's 800 colors of white.
There is 800 colors of white. But a lot of dealers stock just a pure white, what they call their pure white.
Now, that's a good point. I've been meaning to, once we got on paint, I wanted to ask you that. Like, how do you know you're getting just white? Is there a code that you would say that they have that's consistent across? Or?
When I go into a store, let's just take Seabrook, for instance. When you go into a store, I would say to the guy behind the counter, I'm painting. I'm telling him what kind of paint I want to use, a good quality exterior latex, maybe the best they have, but I want their stock white. Mm-hmm. And when you say stock white, he knows what I'm talking about. He's not going to put anything in it.
And that would likely be the color they use for white to color other things, which would be their base white?
Basically, they have two whites in stock. Okay. And one is called a base, which is really a white paint, but it needs to have a tint put in it in order for it to work properly. And then they have a stock white paint, which is just
for stock white.
Stock white. But my question is stock white at Seabrook the same as it would be somewhere else? I'm not sure that there is what's called generically a stock white.
And that's why we just shop at Seabrook.
Thank you.
Yeah. Patton, you heard that, right?
Right. Check it out. We're going to do that today. Yeah. No, that's true, though. I like using stock white because I don't like to mess around a whole lot with color. And
it makes total sense. I mean, I've seen 40 shades of white in one home.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
it just kind of continues. You go from one room to the other, and then there's another little shade and another little shade.
You know, and I do the same with my interior trim. I want it just white.
Yeah.
I mean, but very rarely do you go into any home where there's just a pure white trim. There's always got something in it, a little bit of egret or this or gray or I don't know, just a bunch. I like white. All right, Handyman Show here at Super Talk Mississippi at the Build Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy. Be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Another segment coming up.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
This is home.
I'm a hard-working man. I wear a steel hard hat. I can ride rope, a hammer and paint. Do things with my hands that most men can't. I can't get ahead no matter how hard I try. I'm getting really good at barely getting by.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. Man speaks my language.
By the sweat of my brow, from my four-wheel drive to my cowboy boots, I owe it all to my blue-collar roots. Feel like I'm working overtime on a runaway train. I got to bust loose from this ball and chain.
I'm a hard-working man. Yeah, I've done that for many, 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 many years. I got to admit, in the last two or three years, I hadn't been that much of a hardworking man. But I'm doing stuff. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm just not quite. I mean, I used to, four or six hours of sleep a night is all I'd ever need. It's all I required. It doesn't exist anymore. Hey, a question about the door, painting a door. James from Oxford asked if you could use enamel paint on your door. And yes, I recommend enamel. I also recommend a waterborne or latex. And a good quality paint is necessary. If you're going to paint a front door and it's relatively new, latex right over this door is probably going to be okay. If it's an older door, it may have been painted with an oil-based paint to begin with. That would need to be first a little bit sanded. I'm talking about 180, 220 sandpaper, just a little bit of sandpaper, and then wipe it down with liquid sandpaper, and then paint it with a high bonding primer, even a latex high bonding primer. And then you can put any kind of paint on it you want. Latex, of course, is the best. Latex enamel will work wonderful on any door and last for a long, long time. And easier to put on, too, easier to work with. So, James, I hope this helps you a little bit. Hey, let me take a little bit about and tell you about Revel Ace Hardware, one of the better hardware stores in the state of Mississippi. Revel. They just do things so well and have everything you'll ever need in stock in a lot of their stores here in Central Mississippi. In, matter of fact, in all of their stores here in Central Mississippi, they have all the stock that you'll need at good prices. And they've got customer service that really, really is next to none. I mean, you won't find that kind of customer service much anywhere. And you'll not pay any more for your product than you would at a lot of places. So I go to Revel to buy a lot of things. Right next door to their Revel hardware store in Pearl is their power equipment center, which is just filled with great power equipment. Anything that you need as far as lawn mowers and lawn care, blowers and weed whackers and just anything at all, they can do it. You go see my friends at Revel. They're open 6 days a week, 7 in the morning till 6 at night, and sometimes on Saturdays, a lot of their stores will open a little bit later just to make sure they take care of all their customers. Revel's been around a long time. They care about their people. They always will. Revel Hardware. Rook's Revel Hardware. Go see them. Be happy that you did. Tell me you heard about them on the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. Yeah. All right. All right. I've said this, that when you're building a privacy fence, like a 6-foot privacy fence, there are certain ways to do it. Using fence boards, either cedar fence boards or pressure-treated fence boards, which are relatively inexpensive, and they're put up with between 4x4 posts and stringers you use, like 2 2x4s, but it's better to use 3 2x4s, one at the just a little up from the bottom, a little down from the top, and right across the center. That'll give you a much stronger privacy fence. But when it comes to putting your gate up, don't use the 4x4 posts as your post to hold the gate. Use a 6x6 post because it's stronger and it won't bend and it won't warp your, it won't make your gate inoperable like a 4x4 is tending to do most of the time. 4x4. Just remember, anything that's 4 inches in pressure treated is ground treated. So a 4x4 or 6x6, it's all ground treated. It's a little more treated than the regular pressure treated material, and it can help you a great deal. But for fences, 4x4s are great little posts between. But for gates and any access area, always use 6x6s. It makes a much, much stronger fence. Matter of fact, I've seen some fences built where at the very corner post in every fence, just the corner was just a 6x6, and that made the fence stronger yet. So, that's a very good thing to do. Also, it should be said that when fences are put up, a lot of times they're just left natural, and it won't take but 2 years or 3 years for it to turn like a gray color. But when you put it up and it's dried for like 2 or 3 days, particularly if you use yellow wood, it's already dried enough. If it's not yellow wood, you need to let it dry for 2 or 3 weeks, and in the upcoming days, it's not going to happen. But at any rate, let it dry, and once it's dried, treat it with a stain. Either a solid stain or a semi-transparent stain. And stains for this type purpose outside always have a water repellent in them that can help your fence last and look so much better. And if you keep that stain up to date, whereas like every 2 or 3 years you stain it, your fence is always going to look good, and it always will look good. And it won't turn that gray and start coming apart.
With that light Clorox water, let it sit. That's what I've done on them, and just to get some of the nasty, and then use the amazing Thompson's or whatever brand, and it looks like a brand new fence every
time. It works.
You know, your deck floor, too, and just about anything.
Just about anything, and it works pretty well.
But I don't use, like, any type of pressure. on it. It's just light water, you know, from the hose and hose it off a little bit.
I don't even have a pressure washer, but sometimes I have an older deck, and sometimes I think I can't get it clean enough because I don't have a pressure washer. That's the one area where I probably
The metal wand, you know, those things work great. It's not, it just hooks on your hose.
Yeah, and
it's all out. I use. Yeah, right on out.
It jets out of there like
crazy.
It
does a good job.
Yeah, it really does.
For a fraction of the price.
Indeed. And that's all very important to us right now, the fraction of the price. We'd much rather pay that than we would for a $400 pressure washer.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the half price on the pressure washer, and still it'd be out of my price range. Does that go to the wand? That's like $20, $30. That works just fine.
Yeah, that's all you need. And strangely enough, I have a nozzle at home that is a jet nozzle, and it's got a little lever on it where it
that's has, what this one has. It's awesome,
man. It's just like just that nozzle. It fits onto my hose. It's amazing.
The gutter one's not bad.
Yeah, the gutter one's good.
It looks like a shepherd's hook.
Yeah, it does.
But it works pretty good. It
lets you clean your gutter out from the ground without having to get up onto the roof
and leaning against it and bending it up and doing all that. But yeah, it's that time of year. The leaves is a falling, buddy.
Man, start looking at people's gutters today are so nice and they look so good, but when they get overloaded with leaves and pine straw, they can start ponding and bending and
you'll even have a tree growing out of them.
Yeah, matter of fact, I've seen a lot of houses where there's plants growing out of their guttering, which means they haven't been cleaned in years. Probably so.
Got that fast growing plant up there. It was only a week ago when I didn't clean it. No, I don't believe that.
I believe that, sure. Okay, a week. You must know the garden mama real well.
Yeah, that's the best place to grow a plant, apparently, if you don't want to put any love into it, is the gutters.
You've got to have a greener thumb than she has for that to happen. Oh, well. Well, Garden Mama talks about leaves growing all over the place. Hey, you're listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. We do it each and every Saturday from 10 to 12. We do it right here at Super Talk at the Build Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy Slowick. Enjoy doing the show very much. I hope you tell your friends that, hey, the handyman's on Super Talk. We're also all over the place. You can get us on any kind of social media that's available. Get a hold of us and listen to what's going on Super Talk all the time. Talk to you next week. Handyman Show right here. Buddy Slork. Bye-bye.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money? And a lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they aren't online. With the power of STMM Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referrals and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at STMM Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Get the news that matters to Mississippi on Middays with Gerard Gibbert. Middays with Gerard Gibbert. Each weekday starting at 10 a.m., Gerard brings you a spirited debate on the key stories of the day with the newsmakers and powerful reporting on the issues you care about. Listen on your local Super Talk station or anywhere you get Super Talk Mississippi and watch the show live on C Spire Channel 70, Super Talk TV, and on the Super Talk Mississippi app.
Hi, I'm Josh Quick, the owner of Mid-South Crawlspace Solutions, formerly known as Clean Space of Central Mississippi. Our name may have changed, but our expertise remains. An unhealthy crawlspace can invite mold, bugs, and buckling floors. This affects not only your crawlspace, but compromises the health of your entire home. Our Clean Space system will transform your crawlspace into a dry, healthy, clean environment that will save you energy and money. No more moisture, no more mold, no more smells. Still doing free estimates at mscrawlspace.com.
Do you suffer from allergies, sinus or respiratory problems, or just want to improve the quality of air you breathe in your home or business? Pure Air Consultants can help. As your indoor environmental specialist, we clean air ducts, install UV lights, and service all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. We offer the most dependable Energy Star qualified systems in the industry. Call Pure Air Consultants today, 601-939-7420.
A proud provider of Rheem Home AC Systems. Are you feeling it? Rheem. The new degree of comfort.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.